Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wages of Sin by Harry Turtledove. Narrated by Anna Clements. 1. In the Beginning, 1509. Felipe Souza and Pedro Alves squelched through the muddy streets of Boma. The trading village, the biggest one this side of the rapids that kept boats from going very far up the Congo, was claimed by Portugal, but no one took that seriously. Dutch and English slave dealers and other merchants also operated here. White men had been trading in these parts for almost 30 years now. The Africans in Boma had come to take them for granted, which wasn't true everywhere. Blacks who'd never seen a man from Europe before often took him for a ghost. How else could he be so pale? "Bom dia," called a bare-breasted woman with a big pot and a wooden dipper. "You want some banana wine?" The question was a mishmash of Portuguese, Dutch, and two or three of the local languages.
"No thanks, sweetheart. Not now."
Souza's answer came from the same stew of tongues. Nobody would ever write poetry in the trade lingo. As long as the natives and the strangers from across the sea could tell each other what they wanted and how much they'd give for it, they were content.
"Mother of God, but that's horrible swill," Alves said, pitching his voice low so the hawker couldn't hear. "Drink a couple of dippers and you'll wish your head would fall off."
"How do you know?"
Souza grinned at his bosun. The stocky little man grinned back.
"Same way you do, senor."
A man with a missing front tooth used a stick to stir a big iron pot mounted above a fire.
"Bushmeat stew?"
he asked. He poked something with the stick and held it up so the Portuguese traders could see it. A hand, as big as a man's, but with longer fingers and a shorter thumb.
"Special good, got chimpanzee in it."
Not trusting himself to speak, Souza shook his head and walked on. He'd seen live chimpanzees. They looked too much like people for him to want to eat them. The Africans saw things differently. Cattle and sheep and horses couldn't live in these parts. They died of tropical sicknesses even faster than Europeans did, which was saying something. Without domestic animals, you got your meat from whatever you could catch. A half-grown boy displayed skewered grubs on a wide, bright green leaf.
"I think I'd sooner eat those than chimpanzee," Souza said.
Alves shuddered.
"I don't want the bugs, and I don't want the critter either." "Remind me why you came to Africa," Souza said with a chuckle. "Same reason you come here, to see if maybe I can get rich."
"Fair enough."
The merchant adventurer paused and pointed.
"There's Enjoya's compound. Whatever he has in his pot, we'll eat it and we'll make like we like it."
"I know."
By Alves's face, the knowledge did not overjoy him. A guard with an iron-tipped spear stood outside Enjoya's hut. He wasn't just for show. People here, like people anywhere, would steal anything not nailed down. Souza's rowers guarded the boat they'd hauled out of the Congo and up onto the riverbank. They wore morions on their heads and swords on their belts, which impressed the locals. And they had arquebuses, which frightened the Africans. The natives had swords of their own, and they could see how helmets worked, but firearms seemed like magic to them. The guard ducked into the hut. A moment later, Enjoya came out with him. The African trader was in his mid-40s, with broad shoulders and a big, firm belly that said he'd eaten well for a long time. Portly men were no more common here than in Europe. You had to be smart, or lucky, or usually both, to get that far ahead of hunger. Enjoya folded first Souza and then Alves into a sweaty embrace.
"Felipe, Pedro, good to see you both,"
he boomed in pretty good Portuguese. No lingua franca for him. He could also get along in English and Dutch and several of the local languages. He even knew some Arabic.
"Good to see you too, you old thief," Souza said.
Enjoya held that big fur.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?